I was thinking while he was singing that song, you know, I haven't seen a lot of days, and the good outweighs the bad. If we'd be honest, we'd have had to be honest, say the good usually outweighs the bad, but even on the bad days, I've never seen a day where I wasn't thankful to know Jesus. I can't think of a day, I can't think of a time where he wasn't the best thing that ever happened to me once I got saved and born again. And on the worst of days, it's good to know Jesus. I appreciate that song. And let's take your Bibles, if you would, to Book of Hosea tonight. Book of Hosea, when you find your place, we'll stand, please. And over there where the pages are all stuck together and dusty, if you hit Ezekiel, you can head north. You can go bump right into it. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. And I want to bring you what the Lord has put on my heart for tonight. And we'll just read one verse here in the first chapter and pray, and then you can be seated. And we'll try to give you what the Lord has put on our heart this evening. Book of Hosea, chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." Let's go to God in prayer this evening and ask him if he would to help us from his word. Father, we love you and so thankful for the opportunity to get to be in your house, Lord. I'm thankful, as has already been said, for your presence. And God, I'm thankful that you've been so wonderful to know. God, the more I've got to know you, the better I've loved you, and the more I've loved you. And Lord, we ask for just a few minutes tonight that you'd make the word come alive to us. God, that you would take something from your word, what's on my heart, Lord, and that you would take it and break it and spread it abroad among us, Lord, where we could go on the rest of our week, Lord, ready to serve you and walking closer with you. Lord, we thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for sending your son to die for us on Calvary, where we could be here tonight. Well, thank you for what you're going to do, and we ask this all in your name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I won't try to make you think that I'm going to wow you from preaching from just one verse tonight, but if I could, I'd just like to use this verse as a springboard, if we could, to jump into the text. But as I begin to think about this first verse here, I want you to think with me, first of all, about the message that's given in the first verse. The Bible says this, in verse number 1, that the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. And as we begin to look at this book here tonight, I think it's safe to say that Hosea is one of the most overlooked or undervalued books in all of our Bible. It's just not one that everybody runs to very often, and I think there's several reasons for this. In a book close to some major prophets, Hosea is one of the minor prophets. It's just not very large, just 14 chapters here, just a couple pages, and put together with a lot of books that have a lot of millennial prophecies and a lot of world events that are taking place, Hosea doesn't really talk about any major prophecies that are going to happen in the future. And you begin to look at all the writers that are around it, men like Ezekiel and men like Daniel and men like Isaiah, and Hosea's book is not remembered for the glory that Ezekiel was remembered for, and it's not remembered the prophecy of the Messiah that Isaiah gave, or the predictions of the future that Daniel gave, but Hosea is remembered for sin. And Hosea is remembered for sinful affairs that have taken place inside this book, and his memory is a little bit tainted, and his image is a little bit marred because of the sins that Hosea is associated with, sins that were not his own, but sins that Hosea was associated with nonetheless. As you begin to read the book, some of it's quite shocking, it's quite amazing to read through, and oftentimes we just hurry by and we move on to the next one and kind of forget all about it. But I think it's interesting what the Bible said in verse number 1. It says, "The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea." And just as much as Ezekiel was inspired by God, and just as much as the Psalms were inspired by God, and just as important as the Gospels are today, the word of the Lord, all 3,000 years later, is still exactly what it claimed to be then, the word of the Lord, that is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I would say to you tonight, there is a message for us here in the book of Hosea. Not only a message, but I would say this, that there is a minister in Hosea. The Bible says this, that it came to a man named Hosea, the son of Beeri. And you begin to think about the prophets, and you begin to think about the writers of these days, and I was beginning to look back and see what all we actually know about them, and what we can learn about their lives from the Scriptures. And as you begin to study the prophets, you'll find we don't know a lot about their future life. In other words, we don't really know what happened to them after the books that they wrote. We don't know what happened to Ezekiel after his book. None of the minor prophets were recorded their deaths. We don't really know what happened to them after the books that they were written. We don't know anything about their future life. But as we begin to think about the prophets, we really don't know a whole lot about their former life. We know very little about what they did before they came onto the scene and God began to use them. We know that Daniel was a child who was taken captive, and Amos was a herdsman who followed the flock, and Zechariah was the son of a prophet, but we just don't know a lot about their former life. God didn't put a lot of emphasis on the life that they lived. But then of most of the prophets, I thought this was interesting. We can learn a little bit about their family life, Brother Craig. God gives us a little bit of an insight into their families. And you begin to think about Ezekiel. We're told in Ezekiel chapter 24 that Ezekiel had a wife that died, and he was commanded not to mourn or to weep over it. God hadn't showed us that Ezekiel had a family. You think about Isaiah. We're told in Isaiah chapter number 7 about the son that he had. And so we have an insight into his family. And as you begin to look at the prophets, most of them are recorded as Jonah, the son of Amittai, or Hosea, the son of Beeri. And so we're told a little bit more about their family, and Hosea is exactly the same way. But what's interesting about Hosea's story is that Hosea's family becomes a subject and theme of his entire ministry. Hosea is unique in the fact that God is going to take his family and God is going to take his children and his wife and himself and use his entire ministry based off the family that God has given him. We're going to begin to learn about Hosea's family. And so there is a ministry in the text. But then in verse number 1, there is a moment that is given to us. The Bible begins to tell us exactly when it is that Hosea ministers. The Bible said it's in the reign of 5 different kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And so we're told about 4 kings that ruled over Judah and 1 that ruled over Israel. And it's interesting, as you begin to study that, he had the privilege and the opportunity of serving in one of the best kings that Israel ever had or Judah ever had in Hezekiah, and one of the worst kings that Judah ever had in Ahaz. They see the moment that is told to us here. But if I could, for just a minute, I would like to just give us an overview of the book, just for a second. If we could step back and divide it up into 3 little portions, and then at the end of the book, there's a verse that I really want to tie it all in with, if we could, for just a few minutes. So I want you to think with me about this book of Hosea. I want you to think about the servant that we find in the book of Hosea. In the first 3 chapters here, we begin to learn about Hosea and the life and that he lives and the family that God gives him. And I notice, first of all, the plan for Hosea's life. Look at what he said in verse number 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And so we begin to look at the plan that God has for Hosea's life. And I notice the background of this plan. The Bible said in verse number 1 that the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. And you know, it's almost elementary to think about how the word of the Lord came to him, but it is interesting because the Bible didn't say that Hosea was out looking for the word of the Lord. Hosea wasn't out searching desperately for God's will, and Hosea wasn't sitting there twiddling his thumbs just wondering what God wants me to do next. The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. And I think as you begin to study the Bible that you'll find that the word of the Lord always comes to those who are active in what they already know to do, who are already serving God where they know to be serving Him and already being faithful where God has planted Him. God brings the word to them and God opens up the next door and God shows them the way as they're being faithful where they're at. And so Hosea is no different. Hosea is being faithful and serving God. And the Bible said that the word of the Lord came to him. The background of this plan, but the beginning of this plan. It's interesting, the Bible said in verse 2, it clarifies that this is the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And none of the other prophets make this distinction that this is the first time the word of the Lord has come to that writer. The Bible makes it very clear this is Hosea's first interaction with the Lord. This is the beginning of Hosea's ministry. He is just getting started. God has spoken to him and he's got a message. And man, this is an exciting time and this is a wonderful time. God has showed up to Hosea and he said, "I've got a great work for you to do." The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. But not only the beginning, notice with me if you would, the billing of this plan. How is it that God lays all this out to him? You think about what the other prophets got to do. Daniel went on to serve as the 3rd ruler in the kingdom. The Bible said the king trusted him. Jeremiah, as much as they hated him, they would get him out of prison just to bring him to the throne and ask his opinion and ask counsel with him as how much he was respected and looked up to. You think about Elijah, who got to call down fire from heaven, or Jonah, who got to lead a city in revival, or Elisha, who got to raise a man from the dead. And I can see Hosea saying, "Man, I'm going to get to serve God like these men did. I'm going to do something great for God. I'm going to do something wonderful for God, just like these other men did." And God tells Hosea to marry an adulteress. And I can't imagine what would be going through Hosea's mind. The first time God begins to work in your life, and the first time God begins to move in your life, and you're so excited, and all of a sudden the plans that God's got for you don't really seem to make sense. Nothing's really coming together the way you all thought it would, but the Bible says this, that it was the beginning of the word of the Lord. This was God's plan for Hosea's life. Before the time began, God had sat down and wrote out how history was going to take place. And this was the plan that God had for Hosea. I can see Hosea's confusion maybe as he begins to follow what God wants. He can't expect a normal marriage, but one that's filled with sorrow and sin. He can't expect to live happily ever after just like everybody else would want to, but because it's not God's plan for his life. It's interesting, the building of this plan. But notice the blessings of this plan. The Bible says this, that he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. The Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. So we begin to learn more about God's plan for Hosea's life. He was to marry this lady who was an adulterous woman. But then the Bible said that God went on to give them three different children, two boys and a girl. And the Bible tells us this, that low children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so children are a great blessing from the Lord, and God is blessing Hosea with children. But as you begin to study Hosea's life, these children that God has given him are anything but a blessing, Brother Danny. Because God has some very specific plans for these children. And as we begin to look at it, there's three different children mentioned here, and God gives each one of them a special name. The first one is named Jezreel, the Bible said, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. God said, that first child that you have, I want you to name him in memory of a massacre that took place in which 70 different men were killed. He said, I want you to be reminded every time you speak his name that I will revenge their blood. I will serve justice. And this was God's plan for Hosea's life. Interesting how God is beginning to work. And then he has a daughter. The Bible said, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Her name means unpitied. And God said, every time you speak her name, you're going to be reminded of the fact there's coming a day when I will have no mercy on my people. There's coming a day when I will not pity them. I will judge them for their sin. This is my plan for your life. He has another child, the last one. The Bible said in verse number 9, then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. The last son's name just means not my people. Once they have been God's people, God said, every time you speak his name, you'll be reminded that they have turned their back on me, rejected me, and walked away. And it's interesting that the things and the people that would normally bring joy in Hosea's life, every time he speaks their name, there's a little bitterness. There's a little something different associated with that. It's interesting to me that God's plan for his life, things that would normally be blessings, God has turned them into bitter things. Boy, sometimes we look at our life and things that are supposed to be blessings and things that we think God should give me this to enjoy it, and things that God has brought into my life that are going to be used for Him, they turn out not to be a blessing at all. They turn out to be bitter things. Boy, there's some things in life we just can't understand about people with eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear and a mind that has not been developed and talents that can't be used and finances that must be spent, things that could have been great blessings. God's plan for their life was them to be bitter things. This is exactly what Hosea is experiencing. And this was the father's plan for the servant. He said the word of the Lord came unto him. This was his first plan for his servant. Hosea's first task is what God gave him to do. And this was the future plan for the servant. This is what he wanted him to do for the rest of his ministry. The plan for Hosea. But I think about not only that, the pain of Hosea. And can you, if you can imagine how much pain and sorrow and suffering would be associated with a ministry like Hosea is given. It's the one in which love is being tested and patience is being tried. God begins to speak to Israel, liking it to how Hosea would have spoken to his family. There's a plea that Hosea gives, pleading with his wife, pleading with her to be faithful and to leave her sin and to come back to him. And you can see as God begins to plead with Israel and to beg them to leave from their sin and to come back to him as a wife would to her husband. There's a plea. There's a punishment in chapter 2. He begins to talk about the consequences for that sin. There is a promise. God begins to make it very clear that if you'll come back, if you'll come unto me, I'll restore you and we'll be wed together in union and harmony just like God had always intended. But there was a purpose for Hosea. God is working in his servant's life and he brings a plan to him that makes no sense, that is odd, that just doesn't seem to all fit together. And boy, it's a painful plan. And Hosea, I can see, is in sorrow and pain and distress over this, but he's faithful. It leads to more pain, but in chapter 3, we find there is a purpose. The Bible said this, then said the Lord unto me, go yet, love your woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. The purpose that God had for Hosea here was to take Hosea's life, to take Hosea's family, to take everything, the pain and the sorrow that Hosea had been experiencing, and use it to preach to the children of Israel. And tell them all the pain that Hosea is suffering. That's exactly how I feel with your sin in front of me. All the pain and the sorrow and the suffering and the bitter things that Hosea is going through. This is exactly what you're doing to me. God has a purpose for Hosea. And the Bible said this, for the children of Israel in verse number 4 shall abide many days without a king, without a prince and without a sacrifice and without an image and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord in His goodness in the latter days. God takes this book of Hosea and He spends the first 3 chapters talking about His servant. He's faithful in spite of the plan that God has for his life. He's faithful in spite of the purpose that God has for his life, the pain that God has. God has brought all these things into his life, and Hosea is faithful and he is obedient in every aspect. The servant that we find in the book. But not only is there a servant, there is a sermon. As in the rest of the book, chapters 4 through 14, God is going to take Hosea. God is going to take everything he's been through and everything he's experienced, and he's going to use it to preach to the children of Israel. And in this sermon, God is going to deal with their sin. He makes it very clear in chapter 4 in verse number 1. He said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. He said in verse number 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. God is taking Hosea and using him to preach to the people about their sin. He said in chapter 9, in verse number 1, rejoice not, O Israel, for joy is other people. For thou hast gone a whoring from thy God, thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. God using Hosea to preach a sermon, and in this sermon he is going to deal with their sin. He said, just as much as this wife was unfaithful to me and this wife has left me, you have been unfaithful to your God. You have sinned against your God. You have turned your back upon the Lord God. In this sermon, he's preaching on their sin. But not only is he preaching on their sin, he's preaching on their separation. Because just as much as Gomer had left Hosea and had left him and gone away from his house, God said, Israel has left me. He said, I've not left you, but you have left me. He said in verse number 16 of chapter 4, he said this, he said, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. He said, every time I turn around, Israel is running away from me. Israel is pushing back from me. Israel is turning away from their God. He said in chapter 5, verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. He said, they're backsliding against me and they will not turn to me. He said in chapter 7, verse 16, they return, but not to the Most High. God is using Hosea to preach to the people and say, not only have you sinned, you have separated from me. You have turned away from me. You have walked away from me. You have left me. I have not left you. This sermon is about sin. It's about separation, but it's about sentencing. As God promises, there will be consequences for the sin that Israel has committed. They could repent, but only if He would smite them. He said in chapter 5, verse 14, for I will bend to Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will even take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. God is promising to deal with them for their sin, for their separation. He said in chapter 9, verse 17, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they should be wanderers among the nations. In chapter 10, verse number 10, he makes an unusual statement. He said this, it is in my desire that I should chastise them. God is using Hosea to preach to his people, and the message he has given, he said, you preach to them about their sin. You tell them about their separation, but you tell them about the sentencing. He said, because of their sin and their separation, it is in my desire that I should chastise them. God has got a very serious message, a very serious plan for Hosea. This sermon not only has to do with their sin, their separation, their sentencing, but this sermon has to do with their salvation. Because you would think in a book that deals with a nation that has turned their back on their God in every direction, You would think in a book that deals with a nation that on every opportunity and every chance has sinned and walked away from their God, that it would be nothing but condemnation, it would be nothing but reproach, and there would be chapter upon chapter of Him promising judgment. And while God promises there will be consequences, you study the book of Hosea, and it's all about God standing back with open arms, saying, anytime you'll come back, anytime you will return, anytime you will come back to me, I'm waiting with open arms over and over again. He uses words like return and come back to me and turn again. And the book of Hosea is about salvation, about God standing back and saying, no matter what your sin is and no matter how far you've separated, no matter what the sentencing is, when it's all said and done, you can always come back home. Amen. The Lord had made it very clear. He said, anytime you want to return, you can come back. And by the time we get to chapter 13, God is opening His arms and saying, if you'll just return, if you'll just come back. In chapter 13, verse 9, He said this, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. He said, Israel, look at what you've done, and you've destroyed your life. You've ruined your life. You go back to Ezekiel and see where I found you and how I brought you up and made you beautiful and adorned you with everything that you have, and you have destroyed yourself, but in me. In me is thy help. He's on to verse 14, and he said, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. He goes on in chapter 14, in verse 1, he said, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And he promises them in verse 4, chapter 14, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. Hosea is given a plan. He said, Hosea, you're not going to understand this plan. It's not going to make a lick of sense. It's going to be painful. Hosea, it's going to bring all kinds of things into your life you never asked for, but it has a purpose. And Hosea, there's a sermon I need you to preach, and it's about their sin. You have to give them the bad part first before it ever gets good. Hosea, you're going to tell them how far away they have turned from me, and they have separated themselves from me. And Hosea, you're going to have to tell them, judgment is coming, but there is salvation to be found with me. And he said, after all they've done, after they've walked away from me, no matter what they do, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. We study the book of Hosea, we see the servant in chapters 1 through 3. We look at the book of Hosea, we see a sermon, chapters 4 through 14. But really, preached all of that just to get to one verse right here in the end of this chapter that's been on my mind for a week. The Bible says this in chapter 14, in verse number 9. There's a statement that stands out to me. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. Listen to this. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Brother, I wrote in the side of my Bible, what a book to put that statement in. I could understand if David could have said, the ways of the Lord are right, therefore I will walk in them. I mean, I could understand that if Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, the wisest man who ever lived, the greatest of the kings, I could understand if Solomon could have said that, who had everything to be desired, he could have said, the ways of the Lord are right, but it's not Solomon that says that. I could understand if it was Daniel who was delivered from the lion's den who could have said the ways of the Lord are right, or if it was Joseph who was brought out of the pit to the palace and he could have said the ways of the Lord are right, but it's not any of those men. The man God gave the opportunity to write those words was a man whose wife was unfaithful to him. The man God gave the opportunity to write those words didn't come from the lips of a man who knew no heartache. It came from the lips of a man who knew nothing but heartache. God gave this man the opportunity to write the words, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. Hosea, after the plan that he had followed that seemed so strange, after the pain he had felt that hurt so bad, and after the purpose that he had seen, he said, the ways of the Lord are right. Israel, after having left God for so long, and Israel, after they turned their back on God for so long and walked away from Him and endured, went through the sin and went through the separation and endured His sentencing, when they got to His salvation, they said, the ways of the Lord are right. Israel, after having looked for better things and smoother paths elsewhere, had to come back and say, the ways of the Lord are right. Hosea preached for 60 years with a wife that was unfaithful to him, were children that every time he spoke their name reminded him of the judgment that was coming, with the people that wanted nothing to do with what he said, with the pain in every step. At the end of 60 years of preaching, the last thing he said was, "The ways of the Lord are right." Look at what he said about the ways of the Lord. There was a distinction. He said, "The ways of the Lord are right." There was a distinction, but there was a definition. He said, "And the just shall walk in them." There was deliverance. He said, "But the transgressors shall fall therein." Hosea said, "Man, I look at my life and it hadn't been easy. It hadn't been fun. There's been sorrow. There's been pain. There's been suffering. But I can honestly say at the end of 60 years of preaching, the ways of the Lord are right." And he said, "Let me tell you who's going to be delivered. It's not going to be those who go seeking their own path. It's not going to be Israel who tried on every hand to find better avenues and greener grass. It wasn't Israel. It was the just shall walk in them." And Hosea said, after 60 years of preaching, with everything I've been through, the ways of the Lord are right. We're standing all over the building tonight. They're coming to get us a song ready. When you look at the servant and his suffering, you'd have to say, the ways of the Lord are right. Boy, you look at the sinner and his straying, and you have to say, the ways of the Lord are right. You look at Hosea and the pain that he went through, and Hosea said, the ways of the Lord are right. You look at the sinner who strayed and came back to God, and they stood and they said, the ways of the Lord are right. And can I submit to you tonight, there is no question about whether God's ways are right. The question is, if I'm in God's ways. Hosea said, the ways of the Lord are right, and he gives us two kind of people. The just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. You know, if you're walking in God's way, you don't have to spend time trying to figure out if it's all going to come out all right in the end. Jeremiah said, there's a straight way. It's the right way. He said, the important part is, you make sure you're in the Lord's way. You know, I don't understand all of what takes place in our lives. Sometimes the plan that God has for us doesn't make sense. It seems strange. It brings suffering into our lives. It doesn't seem to add up. But Hosea said, ways of the Lord are right. The sinner, Israel, who has spent all their life seeking after something better, who was never satisfied with what God had for him, Israel, who always thought there was greener grass on the other side and always thought that Baal could do better than Jehovah, and Israel, who always traded immorality for righteousness, God said, one of these days they're going to say, the ways of the Lord are right. Hosea, who suffered, had to say, the ways of the Lord are right. And the sinner who strayed had to say, the ways of the Lord are right. There's no debating where there's ways are right. The debating is, am I walking in his ways? As we sing tonight, the preacher comes.